Good afternoon. Getting to follow Lee and Steve, some of what I talk about is going to be a little bit repetitive because they've hit on some of the topics, but to a degree, I get to give kind of the bad news this afternoon. And the bad news is really how we got where we are, because you really have to frame the problem in order to figure out what to do about it. Lee referenced the what is now infamous Desert Sun ad, Desert Sun article this morning. For those of you who saw it, it's at the top, there's Jack. And there's another passage on the front page where it talks about the, according to the nonprofit National Golf Foundation, 486 million rounds of golf were played in 2009. 475 million were played in 2010. So you went from 486 to 475, and only 463 million were played in 2011. Now, obviously some of that is due to the economy. However, if you look at the statistics going back to 2000 to 1990, the numbers haven't changed that dramatically. But the number of golf courses has changed dramatically. And I think we have to go back and discuss why that occurred. When Johnny Dawson, and some of you may remember Johnny Dawson, first came to this valley and he developed Seven Lakes and Thunderbird and Marrakesh, kind of started the golf course development out here. The golf courses weren't built because the theory was that these golf courses as courses were going to make money. They were built as an amenity to sell real estate. And pretty much most of the courses out here have used the same theory. In fact, we have recent public courses in Indian Wells going back to the 1990s in La Quinta now. And public courses are even doing the same thing out here. They advertise cheap rounds relative to the private clubs, certainly less expensive, but fundamentally those courses weren't built because the cities wanted to spend redevelopment dollars on an amenity. They were spent because the cities are trying to sell real estate or develop real estate for hotels and other uses that create a tax base. So it's really, the philosophy behind it hasn't changed very much. So what happened is, in a world where the golf community has been relatively static, and normally in a supply and demand economy, you'd have a limit on how many golf courses are built because you have a limit on the number of golfers. That didn't occur here because the consumers weren't golfers. The consumers were purchasers of real estate. And purchasers of real estate kept buying real estate and buying real estate and buying real estate. So golf courses were built, they were built, and they were built. And now what we have is, of course, here's the problem. The problem is golf courses were built as an amenity. But when the real estate is sold or the real estate's not moving, what all of you know now who are involved is it's an operating business. It's not a real estate business. It is, in fact, at the end of the day, an operating business. And the question is, in a stagnant market, in a difficult economy, what do we do about that? And some of the solutions have been discussed. Some of it is going to go to cost saving. Steve discussed that. Obviously, water is a big issue. Water is going to get more expensive, so there's really a need to use less of it. Lee talked about the need to involve the homeowners. One of the interesting statistics in this valley is that within gated communities, on average, less than 40% of the people who live in those communities are involved in the golf facility. They don't dine at it, they don't shop at it, they don't play golf. They're not even social members. They just don't belong. So somehow we have to find a way of getting the members involved. Even if it's not playing golf, they need to use the facilities, and as Lee alluded to, they need to appreciate the facilities. The reality is that the value that these people are going to get for their home when they sell it, and they're all thinking someday they're going to sell it, is going to be based on how green the lawn is outside. And in many clubs, that's not a lawn that they pay for. So somewhere along the way, there has to be a heart-to-heart with the owners of the adjacent properties as to the benefit they get from this facility, the aesthetic benefit, if not the recreational one, certainly. And they're going to you're going to have to find a way to make the economic bargain. Having said that, there are a few other things that you can potentially do. Now, some of them are going to seem obvious, and there is no silver bullet, and some of them you may already be doing. However, in talking with Andy and sharing experiences about this, there are, in fact, clubs that aren't doing these things, and so we're going to kind of start at the most pedantic and work our way up. One is, many clubs go year to year on budgeting because they go year to year on boards. And there is not long-range planning, not just relative to capital projects, but there isn't long-range planning relative to operating budgets. So some of what's going to need to be done is clubs are going to have a very forward view. Sometimes costs come into clearer perspective when you're projecting them out over a period of years, as opposed to year to year, which tends to go on a whim and tends not to be the larger measurement. So again, long-term planning, long-term budgeting, you can't go board to board. We talked about the Homeowners Association. Lee touched on a combine. It's one of the things that needs to be done. There needs to be a co-op or a consortium. There are so many things clubs spend tremendous amount of money on, and I'm just looking at my notes here to go through it, seed, golf carts, chemicals, fertilizers, and the like, that all the clubs are buying the same thing, but they're buying them separately. There is no magic to this. There's no diminishment of your exclusivity if you get together with other clubs to buy seed and buy these other expensive items. And a co-op, as Lee said, relative to farmers, a consortium is one thing you can do to cut costs, is that people need to get together to do this. In fact, you can go so far as to share equipment. The equipment itself is very expensive. It's expensive to acquire. It's expensive to maintain. But the reality is that if you cooperate and stagger somewhat the reseeding, for example, there are ways of using equipment more effectively. The other idea, and it's probably the most controversial, because clubs, notwithstanding the economics of the situation, tend to like what they perceive to be their uniqueness or their exclusivity, is to actually start looking at breaching that a little bit. Enter into reciprocal agreements with other clubs. The competition is getting fiercer, and it's very difficult in the golf business because a lot of clubs are spending a great deal of money on the sizzle to add amenities. It's become a bit of an arms race. And that's an arms race somewhat like the geopolitical environment. Nobody's going to win because there is a field of dreams aspect to it. You take a survey of the members, and the members say they want a particular amenity. You raise the capital to do it. You may make a capital call on members. You borrow money. You build the amenity. There's no guarantee it's going to be used. And in fact, a lot of these new amenities are not being used. Nevertheless, as clubs build them, it becomes part of what the expectation of your consumers are. And so one thing that you really need to look at is reciprocity. If there is a club down the road that seems to have a relatively comparable type environment, and they have a great gym, maybe you don't build a gym, maybe you build something else. If you have one course for your members to play, and you know your members like variety, and there's a club down the street that has another course, maybe figure out how to make it reciprocal. You can sell that, you can charge fees. If I saw Doug Hansen is here, so I don't want to, I thought I saw Doug somewhere. There he is. Hi, Doug. Good. So I don't want to pick on Indian Wells. I apologize. But I'm going to anyway. If Indian Wells is a great deal at $45 a round for residents, the reality is that you can make a reciprocal deal with another club and create a comparable charge, because those people are going to golf courses like Indian Wells because it really doesn't cost that much more, and it gives them variety. It's something you need to be thinking about doing. Again, that is the most controversial because people like the exclusivity, but in an arms race, in a market where you have more golf courses than we should have at this point, the only way to go is to start figuring out how you're going to expand your market. And to do that, you're going to have to expand your amenities. And to do that, you're not going to build them. You're going to have to find a way, at least we think, to share them equitably. And it will help the economics. So with that, I know that there are going to be questions later, and I'll scram now that I've given you all the good news, but thank you very much.